We welcome you to the Anderson Church of Christ in Anderson, Alabama. We appreciate all those who have tuned in and or watching this. We will be studying today from the Word of God, and we hope that you have your Bibles and that you'll open them up and study with us from the Word of God today. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 1 and in verse 3, the Word of God says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." What an awesome thing it is for us to be Christians. We have so many wonderful blessings that we have received from God by being obedient to Jesus Christ, His Son. Today I want to take a look at these great blessings that we have, and I hope that this will help us, encourage us, and for those of us who are Christians, I think that it will encourage us as to remind us again, lest we forget, the great blessings that we have in Christ. For those who are not Christians, I think this will be good to help encourage you as to what you're missing in Christ. It will encourage you to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is certainly our prayer that each and every one who is yet to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ will be motivated by hearing the gospel, to believe it, to repent of your sins, to confess Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and to be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and arise to walk in newness of life, to be a disciple of His. This morning we'll begin then in our study with the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and verses 19 through 20. This is the account of Jesus prior to His ascension, that He speaks to His disciples and gives them what is sometimes referred to as the Great Commission. And the text says, recording our Lord, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Notice here that Jesus wants His disciples to go out and teach the whole world. Here He says all nations. He wants to make disciples of all the people in all the nations. And He mentions the idea of baptizing them. We'll notice in Mark's account of this same event, Jesus said unto them, or He said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Now notice Mark also records the idea that the disciples are to go out to the whole world and preach the gospel to every person. And Jesus is saying here, or does say, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." Did you notice that in both Matthew and Mark, there is the idea of when the gospel is taught, people should be responding by believing and being baptized into Christ. Well, that's where we want to really talk about our blessings that we have and the wonderful relationship we have with God as a result of having obeyed Jesus, obeyed His command to be baptized into Christ. So what this chart that you see before you is illustrating is that on the left side there you see the fact that as a sinner. Now as a sinner, we're illustrating that to mean before you became a Christian, while you were still in the world, you had yet to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are more things involved than just being baptized, but yet we understand that baptism changes the state of man from not being in Christ to being in Christ. So we're going to look at this idea of baptism. And again, I want to stress, we're not talking about baptism only. We're talking about ultimately baptism stands between the sinner and some of these great blessings. And the first one we want to look at is just the idea of salvation. So what we're illustrating here, again, is that baptism stands between the sinner and salvation. Now, why would I make that statement? Well, first of all, I want you to go back to the idea of why Jesus came to the earth. You remember in the book of Matthew, in this account, the angel is talking to Joseph and about Mary, that she would have a son. And verse 21 of Matthew 1 says, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, what it's important here for us to notice that it is Jesus who came to the earth, and he is to save people from their sins. Well, what we have then that we read a moment ago, we read from Mark 16, this is Jesus. Now, he's to come and to save people from their sins. So what is he saying? He tells his disciples, "He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved." So I want to make sure that we understand the simplicity of this. I think everyone concedes the idea, if you believe in God and you believe in Jesus, that God sent Jesus to die for our sins. Well, Jesus, who came to save us from our sins, he says you need to believe and to be baptized in order to be saved. So what do we learn from that? We learn from that if you want to be saved from your sins, you need to be baptized as Jesus commanded. So baptism stands between the sinner and salvation. Well, now the Apostle Peter, he preached the same point. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, Peter says, in corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now here's something we can look at very simply. When we were sinners and without Christ, we were lost. When we were baptized into Jesus Christ, because Jesus commanded it and he came to save us from our sins, when you were baptized into Christ, you are forgiven of your sins. You are saved. Peter says that. Jesus says that. We ought to obey that. Let's notice another blessing. We have the forgiveness of sins. Now, this is just another expression to simply express the same thing that we've been talking about already. But baptism stands between the sinner and the forgiveness of your sins. Notice what Peter said in Acts 2 and verse 38. "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Now, what's important about this? Jesus gave the disciples, and we read that in Matthew 28, and we read it in Mark 16, that Jesus gave the disciples, his apostles, a commission to go and preach the gospel to all the world. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." Well, after that commission is given, about 7 days later, we find the apostles in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and they are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are beginning the mission of what Jesus gave them, as we read in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. So Peter stands up. He preaches about Jesus Christ along with the other apostles. They talked about the fulfillment of prophecy and that Jesus Christ is the Son of David, and he is both Lord and our Savior. Well, when the people heard this, they responded by saying, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" This is what Peter responds. He responds that they needed to repent and to be baptized. Why do they need to do that? For the forgiveness of their sins. Well, what sins had they committed? In the sermon in Acts chapter 2, you will find that Peter accuses the people that he's speaking to as having put to death the Son of God. So what we learn from this great passage is that baptism is that which gives us forgiveness of our sins. We also will notice the great blessing that those who are in Christ have is that they've had their sins washed away. Again, another expression referring to the exact same thing about being saved, about having forgiveness, having your sins washed away. So baptism stands between the sinner and washing away our sins, according to what Saul of Tarsus, later called Paul the Apostle, was taught by Ananias. In Acts 22 and verse 16, we have Paul, who is standing and preaching and teaching about his conversion. And he was told by Ananias, "Why do you delay? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." So why did Saul of Tarsus get baptized? Well, he was a sinner. And baptism stood between him and having his sins washed away. So that's a significant point for us to consider. The blessing of having your sins forgiven, the blessing of having your sins washed away, the blessing of being saved. Baptism stands between the sinner and those great blessings. We also notice there is the great blessing of the death of Christ. Now, when we stop to consider the death of Christ, it is Paul in Romans chapter 6 who says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" It's a beautiful analogy, and the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ means all the world to us as Christians. Every first day of the week, we remember the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord when we eat the Lord's Supper. But notice that baptism stands between the sinner and the death of Christ in this way. Verse 4 or verse 5 says, "For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." So here's a beautiful thing that we need to understand that is a great blessing to us. That when we're baptized, we then take part of the death of Christ. You see, Paul in Romans 6 draws an analogy between the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And for us who are sinners, obeying the gospel, and then contacting the death of Christ and arising to walk in this newness of life. So the beauty of this is that just as Jesus died for sin, we die to sin. What do you do with dead folks? You bury them. Jesus was buried when he died to sin. When we die, or he died for sin, we die to sin. We are buried in baptism, and we arise just as Jesus arose in newness of life. And in fact, that's our very next point of the blessing is that baptism stands between the sinner and this newness of life. And what a great blessing it is for us as Christians that we are able to walk in a newness of life because we have obeyed the gospel. Jesus, our Savior, commanded us to be baptized for the washing away of our sins. Notice Paul in verse 4 of Romans 6. He says, "Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." I want you to stop just for a moment and think about this. Let's back up. Let me back up on my chart here. So if what we're illustrating is true, and if this is what the Bible is teaching, I want you to grasp this point. Before you are baptized into Christ, you're a sinner. Now you hear the gospel. The gospel, you need to hear the gospel. Because it is the gospel that is the power of God to save. So you need to hear it. You need to hear the gospel, which is good news. And that good news teaches you that you can be saved from your sins. So you either believe that or you don't believe it. And if you believe it, you realize you're a sinner, you want to repent, change your mind, and change your actions about your way of life. You want to then confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You want to be baptized into Christ and have your sins forgiven so that you can have this newness of life and to be saved. So here's the thing. If you've never been baptized into Christ, where are you in regards to newness of life? Well, baptism stands between you and this new life. Baptism stands between you and the washing away of your sins. Baptism stands between you and salvation. Baptism stands between you and forgiveness. So what we're trying to learn from the Word of God is the great blessings that we have having been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, many in the religious world teach that at the point of faith, when you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you're saved. Well, if you're saved, certainly that is a blessing. And if you're saved, that is certainly a newness of life that is different than when you were not saved. So why then do people later then get baptized? Well, the Bible teaches that you don't have the newness of life, and you don't have salvation, and you don't have forgiveness until after you're baptized. Isn't that what these passages are teaching? Well, notice with me another great blessing. Let's notice that we are clothed with Christ. Now, this is a beautiful point that baptism stands between the sinner and putting on Christ. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." Now, if you look at verse 26 and you just take verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." I might take that verse, not considering any of the other teaching in Scripture, and just look at that verse and say, well, if I have faith in Jesus Christ, then I'm a son of God. I'm good. But verse 27 connects the idea of being a son of God by faith and how that happens. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." So I have a coat. And this morning when I got up and I got my closet and I got this coat, I didn't have the coat on. Later when I got here to the building, I put my coat on. I've got my coat on. All right. So there's a difference between not having your coat on and having your coat on. Pretty simple principle. What does this text teach us? This text teaches us that all of you, verse 27, who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. So the question is, at the point of faith only, am I clothed with Christ? This text would teach differently than that. This text would teach us that it is baptism that clothes you with Christ. Now, I want you to notice this interesting point that is made here as well, is the fact that we are sons of God. Isn't that a great blessing that we are sons of God? Now I want to stop and think and consider that the Bible teaches that before you're baptized and you have reached an age of accountability and you have sinned, whose child are you? Well, you'd be a follower and a child of the devil. So at what point do you become a child of God? Well, again, let's notice this text. Verse 26, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." For, this connects the two passages, the two concepts. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus have clothed yourself with Christ." This passage teaches beyond a shadow of a doubt that when you are baptized into Christ, that's when you become a child of God. When you're baptized into Christ Jesus, that's when you're clothed with Christ. So who are you before you're baptized? Well, you're a sinner. You're not a child of God because of your sins. And you're not clothed with Christ because of your sins. It is a great blessing to be in Christ. It is a great blessing to be a child of God. But baptism stands between the sinner and this great blessing. Let's notice this passage or concept about this good conscience and how you feel about yourself. In the book of 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now somebody asks, what does that mean, a good conscience? Well, it has all to do with how you feel. As a sinner, you hear the gospel. How do you feel about that? Well, I would hope that you respond to the gospel in such a way that when you hear that, you're sad. You feel guilt. You feel shame. Because you have learned that you are a sinner and that you are lost, and God sent Jesus to save you. So, when you obey Christ, now let's go back, refresh our memory. Why did Jesus come to the earth? Well, He came to save people from their sins. His name shall be called Jesus. Now, what did Jesus teach? Jesus taught His disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to all the nations. What did He say? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, what does Peter say about that as an apostle who was given that commission? He says baptism now saves you. But he says it's not putting away the dirt or the filth of the flesh, but it's an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when you're baptized into Christ, you get in the water feeling the shame and the guilt of your sins. And why are you getting in the water? You're getting in the water because Jesus, who came to save us from our sins, commanded you to. He's offering you the blessing of being forgiven, to be saved. And so you're baptized. And you are symbolizing the idea of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You're dying to your sins. We bury the dead man and we raise him up to walk in newness of life. Now how you feel? Every person that I've ever seen baptized into Jesus Christ, when they come up out of that water, they're happy, they're excited. They give you a big hug. And everybody's happy for them. They're crying and they're joyful and happy. Why? Because they've had their sins forgiven. Now, how do you feel about that? Wow, you can pillow your head that night with a good conscience, knowing that you have obeyed Jesus, your Savior. But here's another blessing. And it has to do with the body of Jesus Christ, or the church. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse or 12 and verse 13, excuse me, it says, "For by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." So baptism stands between the sinner and the church. Well, what is the church? Well, the word church is just simply the idea of called out or the called out. It's the idea in the New Testament as used is the people that are saved of God. Acts 2 in verse 47 teaches that God added to the church daily those who were being saved. The King James translation says. So those about 3,000 that were baptized on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, God added them to the body, the church. And who are the people that have been added to the church? The saved of God. So here's the great blessing that we're seeing. Baptism stands between the sinner and being a part of the saved people. So here's an important question. So what body were you a member of before you were baptized? You were not a part of the saved of God. What if you just had faith, you believed the gospel and you believed all of that, but you didn't do anything about it? Well, faith only does not save. We're learning that Baptism is not the only thing you do, but baptism is unique in that it stands between the sinner and some great blessings of God. In Colossians 1 and verse 18, we find that he is also head of the church, or the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. So again, the Bible identifies this body as the church. Now, there are some today that say that the church is not important, that you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ through faith, and it really doesn't matter what church you join. This particular passage talks about the idea of baptism is what puts us in the body. I would think that those who have obeyed Jesus Christ, our Savior, to be baptized into Jesus Christ, and God then adds us to the church, that the church would be pretty significant. That is the body of the saved of God. And that takes place. You are a part of the body of Jesus Christ after you're baptized into Christ. Now these two words, sanctification and justification, are beautiful words. And I want to illustrate to us how what a blessing it is for those of us who are in Christ, who have been sanctified and justified. In the book of Acts chapter 18 and verse 8, "And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized." Now the book of Acts chapter 18 is the historical account of Paul going to Corinth, teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He too, as an apostle, was fulfilling the great commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. So he goes to Corinth and he preaches the gospel, and Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, he believes the Lord with he and his household. Now someone says, now look, this demonstrates that all you have to do is believe, and it says that he believed in the Lord with all his household. That's true. But I want you to notice what Paul wrote to the Corinthians later in the book of 1 Corinthians. In chapter 6 and verse 11 of 1 Corinthians, "And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God." Now, if you back up to verse 10, which I didn't include, there's Paul listing a number of sins. Now, here's what's significant. We have in Acts 18, we have Crispus as an example of he believed in the Lord. What was he baptized? Paul later writes and says that they were baptized because he says you were washed. You remember what Paul himself was told to do? "Now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." So what had Paul taught the Corinthians to do? To believe in the Lord? Absolutely. But what else did they do? They also were baptized into Christ. Now notice the blessing of being baptized or washed. He says, "But you were sanctified." And that means to set apart holy. Have you ever stopped to consider that baptism is that what sets you aside as holy? So if you have faith, but you are not baptized, when are you set aside holy? Believing and being baptized into Christ, just as Jesus commanded, is that what sets you apart holy? And you're also justified or declared righteous. Well, who declares you righteous? Not me. No one else declares that to you, but only God can declare you righteous. And we are declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We might say it this way: you will be declared righteous by the authority of Jesus Christ, and then you are a son, a child of God. Isn't that a beautiful blessing? Well, let's notice that obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just baptism. But what I've done, tried to do this morning, is to simply talk to you about the blessing of being baptized for the remission of your sins. Have you obeyed Jesus Christ in baptism? If not, why not? Why would you be baptized? Well, I've listed a number of blessings as to why you should be baptized. But let's emphasize this in closing as you see this chart before you. If for no other reason, you need to be baptized into Jesus Christ because Jesus commanded it. And if He is going to be your Lord and your Savior, you need to obey Jesus today. Our prayer is that you will obey Jesus Christ today, and He will shower you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places upon you as a child of God. Thank you for listening today. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Our most gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we're indeed grateful and thankful unto You for the great power of Your Word, the grace and the mercy that You have extended to us through Christ, for Christ's willingness to come and die for our sins, for the Holy Spirit who has revealed Your Word to us that we can read and study and learn of You. We pray, dear God, that we will listen to Your Word, we will read and study it, and that we will have open hearts to receive Your Word and to be obedient to it. We thank You so much that You sent Jesus and that He is our Savior. We pray, dear God, that we will ever be obedient to You and be a disciple of Yours and let our light shine before others. Thank You for this opportunity to worship and to honor You, to remember Your Son, and have the hope of heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.